Monster Man, episode 449, Remoras to Roper.
Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games.
In today's episode, we're looking at some monsters from Monstrous Manual, the 1993 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. Because these are all monsters that we have done before, I've got four of them in today's episode, rather than the usual two or three. Before we get started, though, some quick programming notes. If you're listening to this the day it comes out, so that would be Friday the 23rd of September 2022, tomorrow, on Saturday the 24th, I will be at the Equinox Tabletop Games Convention in St. Ives, the one near Cambridge, not the one in Cornwall. And my colleague Luca and I are going to be running some games of the miniatures board game Lion Rampant, but I may have some print copies of the Pamphlet of Pantheons and the Magonian Mind Murders if you'd like one. Yeah, I'm just going to be there hanging out, and hopefully it'll be a good time. I've never been to this convention before because it's never happened before. This is its first event, so I don't really know very much about what it's going to be like, but I'm looking forward to getting out and seeing some games in person, so perhaps I will see some of you there if you're in the area. All right, let's take a look at some monsters. First off, we have the Remoras. I don't know how this is supposed to be pronounced, to be perfectly honest. These are the guys that we know from 1st edition. Here they get a nice upgraded Deterlitzy illustration. Well, actually, the original illustration was pretty good too, although this, I think, is more dynamic in terms of its movement, more interesting. One interesting thing here about the monster is that although the entry hasn't changed very much, it is a good deal longer. Normally, I find that there's not a lot of useful stuff in these expanded entries, but here I actually think there are some good things. So, for instance, there's an explanation of why the tunnels that Remoras bore through ice and snow are especially slippery, right? They have this heat secretion, and so they melt the ice and the snow, which turns to liquid, but then quickly refreezes on the surface. So if you're following one through its tunnels, when it's melting through stone, it'll be quite, like, hard once it's cooled, but if you're following it through a snow tunnel, then it's going to be very slippery, which I thought was a fun little detail that not only adds a practical complication, but also makes the world just feel a little more imaginable, I think. So I like that. The detail that the secretions of the Remoras are called Thrym, T-H-R-Y-M, or maybe Thrym, like the giant in Old Norse mythology, sounds like the kind of thing that we could have found in an Ecology Of article. I do wonder if that's where these expanded entries come from, that there was some Dragon Magazine Ecology of the Remoras article. As you know, in general, I have not been a huge fan of those articles, although, you know, some are better than others. Following the Remoras, we have the Revenant. This originally appeared in Fiendfolio, so I talked about it in Season 2, and this entry is very much like that one, although without the atmospheric Russ Nicholson illustration. But like, even some of the text is identical. Revenants are the undead, well, revenants of people who've died a violent death, and they have come back to throttle their killers to death, or stare at them really hard. I mean, they're fine, they're great, and I think they may occasionally be used as a stick to beat player characters with. They can't be turned, they're not even really evil, because after all, it is justice they are after. Following that, we have the Rock, a big bird from the Arabian Nights. Once again, this is basically the very brief entry from the Monster Manual, expanded to an entire page, with lots of kind of tactical detail, but also details about the Rock's habitat and, like, nesting habits and, you know, where they prey and stuff like that. This is fine. I was going to say that the illustration makes the Rock look a little bigger. Like, it's even of the same subject, which is the Rock carrying off an elephant, which I believe is what it does in the Tale of Sinbad. I could be wrong about that. But anyway, I was going to say that the Rock is made to look a little bigger in this version. I'm actually not so sure about that. Maybe it's just had its wingspan increased. The wings are not very big in the Monster Manual illustration, presumably to just kind of like fit him in the frame. Finally, we have the Roper, Wacky Landlord Mr. Roper. This is just, again, the Monster Manual entry expanded to a page in length. And there's something in this entry that kind of for no reason really ground my gears. I understand that this book serves a practical purpose, you know, which is to have a definitive monster book for AD&D 2nd edition, and that it is not particularly meant to be read by people who are looking for something radically different from the previous monster books from the previous edition. It's just a restatement of these monsters in line with the new rules and in color. I get that. I even understand the kind of like form factor mandates that led to these entries being, in many cases, padded out to their page length. I don't agree with it, but I understand it. But you can see the authors actually kind of losing their patience with the format in this entry, and that in turn kind of irritated me. So there's a line that says, a group of ropers has been called a cluster by scholars with nothing better to do. Yeah, you're right. That is a needless detail. Guy who created it. I don't even know what the purpose of this information is. Like, if I describe a cluster of ropers, you will absolutely understand what I'm talking about, except I would never do that because the whole purpose of ropers is that they don't look like ropers. They look like rocks. Not the birds, the stones. Or at least they do in the dark. One day, I'm going to have to set a D&D scenario. It's like a murder mystery in the whatever college of tiresome pedants doesn't know where all the monsters come from, right? Where it's all like, oh, the origin of this monster is unknown to scholars, which must be in a dozen entries in this book. As if that were relevant. There are aspects of the first edition style that I think aren't great. You know, there are some that I didn't like to begin with, but they've kind of grown on me. But there are some that I'm just never going to get used to. I'm used to them, but I'm never going to approve of them because they are bad, right? In terms of how they are written. Maybe that's just like my English teacher hat. But, you know, it's funny. I've read entries in the Monsters Manual that were more padded than the Roper. Like, the Roper entry is fine. It's fine. You know, most of it, it's hard to see the utility, but, like, you know, it's fine. It's just much longer than it needs to be. But, you know, it's fine. I don't know why this is the one that broke me. I have certainly read dozens of Monsters Manual entries just this padded and just this kind of aware of their own futility. People just had a lot more free time back then. They didn't have the internet. I mean, they had the internet, but it wasn't that common. But so yeah, ropers are fine. This entry tells you how to use ropers in your game. And then also, it adds a bunch of words. It also includes the stow roper, I guess. Which is like a roper, but has kind of like a stony hide that protects it and also helps it blend in a little better. That's nice. You know, two for one monster. The Stow Roper was an absolute example of the Monster Manual 2's... It's in Monster Manual 2, I'm pretty sure. Monster Manual 2's tendency to just, like, have a bunch of variants of existing monsters. Not that those weren't also in the Fiend Folio, but they were really noticeable in MM2. Anyway, if we're going to have a Stow Roper, it belongs in the Roper entry. It doesn't even get its own stat block because it's just like a Roper, but with a few little extra bells and whistles. Ropers are fine. I'm not super into any of those kind of like cavern hazard monsters, but they have utility and they can be fun to engage with, and there's nothing wrong with them. But somehow this entry just... This was the one, you know? This was the straw. I don't know why this one. Maybe it's just that it's late when I'm recording this. Hopefully we'll have better luck with our next set of entries, which will be coming up in the early part of next week. And I hope that you will join me then to listen to me suffer right here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Even these ones. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons attribution license. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.